And then he says this, down in verse 15. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would have given it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And then there was, if we back up to verse 13, then he says, then I will teach transgressors your way. Here's the thing. When we think about this worship, those that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And when we think about this worship, nothing is hidden. Everything's open. So I'm an open book before my God. Mm-hmm. I am an open book anyway. Right? But now I'm laying it all before him. And I'm saying, Lord, I want out of my heart to well up in praise to you. But Lord, if there's anything hidden, I want it to be open before you. And before he starts talking about praise, before he starts talking about being a sacrifice and the kind of sacrifices that God desires, what does he say? He says this manner of confession has to happen. This manner of open and revealing has to happen. And so his spirit within him was quenched until he opened up. So those that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I want to tie this together with our condition before God. I want to tie it together, not so much with we must worship according to the Spirit. Absolutely true. Mm-hmm. We don't want to deny that. Absolutely true. But in the context of John 4, what it's really referring to is the condition of heart. Let's go back to John 4 and show me where this is at in John 4. I want you to see it. It's earlier in the chapter. See if you can find it. In John 4. In the context. We talked about context on Tuesday. So in the context, where is it at?
Just to clarify, you're saying where do we see this emphasis on being truthful, being unhidden?
Where in the context is the Lord Jesus revealing and getting this woman to reveal her condition? I practically gave it away. Verse what?
18 or from 16
to 18.
Okay. Somebody take a microphone and explain.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus, he points out on the woman where her problem is. He talks about, go and get your husband, but then the woman has to confess, I don't have a husband. I had, how many, four already? Yeah, but then now the one isn't my husband, so she was living in adultery. That's the point. And then the Lord Jesus says, in this you have spoken truth. So he pointed the sin out in her own life and revealed it.
Yeah. Very good. Any other thoughts in the context of this chapter? What did the Lord say to her about water? What?
That was verse 14.
In verse 10, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And then verse 14, as Sam mentioned, Sam can take over from here.
Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The thought that I had before that was the fact that the Lord Jesus demonstrated the fact that he is God by displaying to this woman that he knew everything about her. Earlier, he was thirsty, displaying the fact that he was truly man. But here, as I said, those verses that we read demonstrated that he knew everything about this woman, even though she didn't realize that he knew. And the same thing with us, as Tim was saying, that when we go to God, he knows everything about us. So it doesn't make sense to try to hide it, because he already knows. So that just came out to me that, you know, he knows exactly where we are. We could as well go and say, Lord, just tell the truth, because he already knows.
Go ahead, Steve.
I just want to also suggest that it's not only fidelity, this idea of in spirit, with my spirit, and in truth, as to authenticity and fidelity and faithfulness, but there is also an element of this that it is in keeping with the truth, and we want to keep them together. So if you have two possibilities, you get four. You have two options, you have four possibilities, right? And the four possibilities is, I know the truth, but I'm not faithful to it. I don't know the truth, and I try to be faithful to something. I don't know the truth, and I'm unfaithful to even the truth that I don't know. And then the fourth one is, I have the truth, and I'm being faithful to that truth. Okay? So it's a standard binary, you know, expression. If you have two possibilities, it creates four combinations. And very often, we fall into one of those four. One is we either are aware of the truth, but not living in the good of that truth. And walking consistent with that truth. Being open and naked and bare before the God who sees all, who we walk in his light, according to 1 John. In some cases there, you know, in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you worship what you know not of. So there is an element of knowing something of who God is and how he has revealed himself. But the intent of worship is an appropriate, faithful response to how God has made himself known.
Yeah. And with that, I think Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9 helps in this subject. If somebody could just read Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Just start reading and a microphone will be brought to you.
Matthew 15, verse 8. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.
Very good. So what do we learn from that? What is the Lord really looking for from us? Not just him, anybody. We don't want to put anybody on the spot, Joe, so why don't you go ahead? That's it.
Peter, you didn't see that. Not just lip service, but from the heart.